This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. What the 70/30 formula reveals about why generic advice fails when toxic traits are involved. Why standard communication scripts break down with truly toxic behaviour. In short, toxic traits are consistent behavioural patterns that cause harm to the people around them and resist standard communication approaches because they operate outside normal good faith assumptions. They are patterns, not isolated incidents, and they repeat across different situations. Generic advice fails because it assumes mutual willingness to resolve conflict. Addressing them requires both the right words and the psychology behind those words. Definition: toxic traits explained. A toxic trait is a persistent behavioral pattern in a person that causes repeated harm to others through manipulation, deflection, chronic undermining, or boundary violations, operating consistently across situations regardless of the impact on relationships or team cohesion. Someone tells your colleague has been undermining decisions behind closed doors. You raise it directly. The colleague smiles, expresses surprise, and turns the conversation back on you within 60 seconds. You leave the exchange feeling somehow responsible. Nothing changed. In fact, it got subtly worse. That is not a communication failure on your part. That is what toxic traits look like in motion. And that is precisely where most advice breaks down, because it was never built to handle what just happened to you. This article is about understanding toxic traits fully, what they actually are, why they resist the tools that work on ordinary difficult behaviour, and what the 70/30 formula from Say It Right Every Time reveals about why preparation must go deeper than a script when you're dealing with a genuine pattern of harmful behaviour. What toxic traits actually look like in practice. Here is the truth of it. Most people misuse the word toxic to describe anyone who annoyed them last Tuesday. That misuse matters because it dilutes real recognition of a serious problem. A toxic trait is not a moment. It is a pattern. It is the same mechanism deployed across different situations, producing the same kind of harm, with no genuine effort to repair or adjust. The colleague who took credit for your work once may have been careless. The one who does it routinely, deflects when challenged, and then frames your concern as a personal attack has a toxic pattern operating. The key features that mark toxic traits apart from ordinary difficult behaviour are consistency and resistance. The behaviour repeats, and it resists normal correction. You address it, and it either continues unchanged or escalates in a self-protective direction. Consider a brief scenario. A team leader brings a concern to a senior colleague about how client feedback is being dismissed in meetings. The senior colleague responds with warmth, asks clarifying questions, and by the end of the conversation has reframed the concern as the team leader being too sensitive to push back. Nothing changes in the meetings. 2 weeks later, the same conversation happens almost verbatim. That is a toxic trait at work, the pattern of deflection and reframing, used consistently, leaving the other person questioning their own perception. If you've ever walked away from a conversation feeling more confused about your own reality than when you started, you've likely encountered one of the most corrosive toxic traits there is. The real cost when toxic traits go unnamed. There is a reason I want you to understand this clearly. When toxic traits go unnamed and unaddressed, the damage does not stay contained to the person displaying them. It spreads. Teams lose trust. The people who watch the pattern unfold draw conclusions. They learn that speaking honestly produces consequences. They learn to withhold information, to hedge their positions, to cover themselves rather than contribute openly. The signs of an amygdala hijack destroying team synergy become more frequent because people are operating in a low-grade state of threat. I have seen good teams fall quiet within 6 months of a single person with unchecked toxic patterns joining them. The cost is also personal. When you spend energy managing around someone's harmful behavior rather than naming it directly, you're paying a daily tax that accumulates. Chronic stress from unaddressed conflict is real. We make ourselves genuinely unwell by not saying what needs to be said. And there is a secondary cost that rarely gets named. When toxic traits are not addressed, people begin to doubt their own perceptions. That self-doubt is itself a harm, often more lasting than whatever the original behaviour was. Why generic communication advice cannot handle this. In Chapter 1 of Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the 70/30 formula. The design is this. 70% of the book's content is practical, word-for-word scripts that give you the exact language for difficult conversations. The other 30% is the psychology behind why those scripts work. That 30% is the part generic advice leaves out, and it is the part that becomes essential when toxic traits are involved. Standard communication advice operates on a foundational assumption that both parties want resolution. Scripts built on that assumption are genuinely effective in most difficult conversations. They work because most people, even when they're defensive or upset, have a basic good faith orientation toward working things out. Toxic traits break that assumption. A person deflecting accountability does not want resolution in the way you do. A chronic underminer does not engage with your honest concern the way a direct, but difficult colleague would. When you bring a good faith script to a bad faith response, the script does not land. It gets absorbed, inverted, or redirected. What I describe as the rehearsal trap in Chapter 1 is particularly dangerous here. You practice the conversation perfectly in your head. You have the right words. But when the real moment arrives, the other person does not follow the script you imagined for them. Your prefrontal cortex gets hijacked by the surprise of an unexpected response, and the careful words you prepare dissolve under pressure. The 30% in the formula is what prevents that. Understanding why a person with toxic traits deflects, manipulates, or escalates gives you a mental model that holds steady when the conversation goes in a direction you did not plan for. You stop being disarmed because you anticipated the move. Three things people get wrong about toxic traits. The mistake. Toxic behavior is a reaction to stress or a bad period in someone's life. Why it persists. Difficult behavior caused by stress tends to resolve once the stressor eases. Toxic traits persist across good periods and bad, across different teams, and across different relationships. What to do instead? Map the pattern over time. If you can name three or more separate incidents where the same mechanism was used, you're dealing with a trait, not a reaction. The mistake. Addressing the behavior directly will resolve it. Why it misleads. For most difficult behavior, directness works well. If you want to address passive-aggressive behavior that is quietly eroding your team, a clear, direct conversation often produces movement. Toxic traits are different. Direct confrontation without the right framework frequently produces escalation, deflection, or a counter-narrative designed to discredit you. What to do instead? Prepare not just what you will say, but how you will respond to the three most likely bad faith responses. The five-step script usage process from Say It Right Every Time covers this. Find the right script, read all the context around it, customize it to your voice, practice it aloud, and then reflect afterward on what actually happened. The mistake. If a person is warm or charming in most situations, they cannot have toxic traits. Why it misleads. Charm is often a feature of toxic patterns, not evidence against them. The behavior surfaces selectively toward people with less power in situations where accountability is low or when the person feels threatened. The warmth in other contexts is real, and it makes the pattern harder for observers to name. What to do instead? Focus on the behavior, not the person's overall character. Ask, does this specific pattern of behavior cause harm? Does it repeat? Does it resist honest correction? If yes to all three, the warmth in other contexts does not change your assessment. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Three moments where toxic traits reveal themselves. These are composite scenarios built from real situations I have encountered across decades of working with teams and individuals. The names and details are constructed, but the patterns are genuine. When credit disappears, Marcus leads a small project team. Over 3 months, he notices that a senior peer named Diane consistently summarizes his team's work in all staff meetings in a way that positions the ideas as originating from her advisory input. He raises it once, gently. Diane expresses genuine seeming hurt, suggests Marcus may be misremembering, and asks him to flag it in the moment next time. The next meeting, Marcus flags it. Diane responds by laughing warmly and saying the audience does not need to worry about who gets credit. Marcus looks petty. The pattern continues. That is a toxic trait, the consistent, self-serving reframing that ensures accountability never lands. The scripts for telling a team member their behavior is isolating them are useful preparation here. because they account for the deflection Marcus will face rather than assuming straightforward reception. When questions become weapons. In a weekly team check-in, a manager named Rachel shares an idea she has been developing. A team member, John, responds with a series of questions. The questions are phrased as genuine curiosity, but are structured to expose every gap in the proposal. When others begin to disengage from Rachel's idea, John expresses surprise. The people found it unconvincing. He was just asking questions. This pattern, repeated over time, functions as chronic undermining without the appearance of attack. Understanding how unmet needs drive team conflict can help you read what might be driving John's behavior, but it does not change the fact that the behavior itself is toxic in its impact on the team. When conflict hides in plain sight, a team works well together except for one dynamic that everyone feels, but no one names. A team member named Claire never disagrees openly. She agrees in meetings and then acts in ways that quietly undermine the agreed direction. Deadlines slip on her tasks. Information does not get passed on. When raised, she has a reasonable explanation for each individual instance. This is passive-aggressive behavior operating at its most erosive level. Each incident looks minor. The pattern is not minor. Preparing scripts for addressing team members undermining group cohesion helps, but only if the person using those scripts understands that they will need to name the pattern explicitly, not just address any single instance. What the 70/30 formula teaches you to do differently. Here is what I have learned after decades of getting this wrong first. When you are dealing with ordinary conflict, the words carry most of the weight. Get the script right, deliver it with care, and most people respond to that. With toxic traits explained in their full complexity, the psychology you carry into the room matters as much as the words. The 70/30 formula is not just a design principle for a book. It is a practical truth. When you understand why someone deflects, you are not surprised when they do. When you are not surprised, your prefrontal cortex stays engaged. When your prefrontal cortex stays engaged, the words you prepared actually come out. The 5-step script usage process becomes critical here. You find the right script for the situation. You read every word of context around it, because as I wrote and say it right every time, skipping this step is the most common reason a script fails. You customize it so it sounds like you. You say it aloud at least 3 times before the real conversation. And after the conversation, you reflect on what happened, because that reflection is where real mastery builds. With toxic traits, add one more step. Anticipate resistance. Write down the 3 most likely deflections you will face. Prepare a response to each one. This is not pessimism. It is preparation for a conversation where good faith cannot be assumed from both sides. The practical result is this: you stop losing those conversations before they start. You stop walking away feeling like somehow you made things worse. You stop second-guessing your own perception. You walk in with the right words and the mental model to hold your ground when the response does not match what a good faith exchange would produce. This is what toxic traits explained in full actually equip you for. Not just to name the pattern, but to address it without being dismantled by it. Frequently asked questions. What are toxic traits in a person? Toxic traits are consistent behavioral patterns that cause harm to people around them, regardless of intent. They include chronic manipulation, deflection, boundary violations, and undermining others. Unlike difficult moments, they repeat across situations and resist normal attempts at resolution or repair. How do toxic traits differ from just being difficult? Difficult behavior is often situational and responds to direct, honest conversation. Toxic traits are patterns that persist despite clear feedback. The key difference is consistency and the absence of genuine accountability. A difficult person adjusts, someone with toxic traits typically does not. Why does generic communication advice fail with toxic traits explained? Most advice assumes both parties act in good faith and want resolution. Toxic traits break that assumption. Scripts built for mutual good faith produce different results when one person deflects, manipulates, or escalates instead of engaging honestly. The 70/30 formula accounts for this by pairing scripts with behavioral psychology. Can toxic traits be changed or corrected in the workplace? Toxic traits can shift with sustained accountability, clear consequences, and consistent feedback. However, the person with the traits must be willing to acknowledge the pattern. Without that acknowledgement, behavioral change is rare. Your role is to address the behavior clearly and document the pattern. What does the 70/30 formula say about handling toxic behavior? The 70/30 formula pairs word-for-word scripts with the psychology behind why people behave as they do. With toxic traits, knowing the psychology prevents you from being disarmed when a script meets resistance. The formula prepares you for the full range of responses, not just the cooperative ones. How do you recognize toxic traits versus a bad day at work? A bad day produces isolated behavior. Toxic traits produce a pattern you can map over time. If you can name three or more separate incidents where the same person used the same harmful tactic, you're dealing with a pattern, not a moment. The repetition is the signal. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.